going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm tired on Monday.
We got to get psyched. It's media day. The season is officially started.
Yesterday was media day. Today, hibernation.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm
Clipper
jacked.
Nation, hibernation.
Nope, we're getting awake, baby.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with some just kind of a wrap-up of media day, which was yesterday. Thank you to anybody who followed the coverage, either here at Locked On Clips or from our personals at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We appreciate it. A lot of great stuff.
Fun
to run
live
down
stream,
there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Had a great car live stream afterwards. I don't think it can get more Los Angeles Clippers than that.
Yeah, definitely.
And then today is Monday, so every single week we do the Freshies, where we kind of talk about new guys, kind of talk about rookies. You know, it's pretty flexible, but generally it's guys that are fresh to the squad. And we're going to be wrapping up with our daily segment, Shavings, where we kind of dig around the collective kitchen drawer that is the NBA right now and, you know, pull out anything that seems fun.
Oh, there was some good stuff. We got Jermichael Green in the Zach Lowe article. It's a packed pod today for the offseason, which is a nice change.
Yeah, it's a big day. I mean, basketball officially starts tonight. There is a game of professional basketball. So... man, things are looking good.
Oh, yeah. The Clippers just finished their first practice, I believe. I was following it on Twitter just now, which was very exciting to look at. Let's get into this media day stuff. How do you think... So I think one of the big things maybe people are wondering is, did Doc speak, and were the cameras just not on when he was at media day?
So Doc did speak. He had an interview with NBA TV.
Yeah, he was there beforehand. Did not come out with the players and everything, though.
No, he wasn't a part of like the general media day presentation.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting. I don't think it caused for alarm or anything, but...
Well, it's interesting to me that you would think one of either... Pick one out of these four, Steve Ballmer, Doc Rivers, Lawrence Frank, or Jerry West would have spoken.
Yes. Even just a hello.
Right?
I mean, you would assume it's the coach. You would assume that one of the coaches would speak. Other than that, it was a fantastic media day. They kind of did everyone in pairs, which was cool. I think a lot of people, when they saw that, assumed we were going to see like, oh, it's going to be, you know, Kawhi and Paul George, Lou and Trez.
Yeah, this was. I was definitely impressed with their pairings.
They switched it up. The first pair was Paul George. Excuse me, it was Kawhi and Lou, which is like the perfect fire and ice. I feel like.
I disagree.
In terms of media day?
It's ice and ice.
You don't think so? I thought Lou was doing a great job answering questions when Kawhi
was...
He
did a good job, but it's not fire and ice. That's ice and ice.
All right. I enjoyed their answers and whatnot. I feel like a lot of points were made at like how funny Kawhi was.
Yeah, that seemed to be... Everyone was sticking to the script, you know?
You think it's manufactured?
A lot of people said the same thing.
Okay, I just happen to think the team's maybe having a good time together. Paul George and Trez were next, which I thought was kind of an interesting pairing. Just in terms of, like, Paul George is a much more, like, mainstream guy.
Yeah.
And so Kawhi, like, even more so, like, Lou's a little more of a mainstream guy than Trez is, too. But, like, to have, like, such a, you know, big mainstream player, and then, like, Trez, I feel like it was maybe Trez at one point who was like, oh, yeah, I forgot I was up here, because someone asked him a question after PG got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I think they had to do this, though, to keep it, you know, because, like, if the first pairing was Kawhi and PG, everyone's probably leaving after that.
I don't know about that.
But the exodus was real on some pairings.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It kind of surprised me that they don't bring out the marquee guys last, but...
Yeah, to build... It's going from one to three anyway.
Yeah.
Just bring them all out. But I think, you know, it was pretty standard media day answers.
Yeah, there was nothing that really, like, blew me away.
Shocking revelations of time return or anything like that.
Yeah.
Paul George did seem genuinely excited to play physically this year.
Mm-hmm.
He and Trez were talking about that. He was like, I think he made a joke about how Trez has him covered if it gets too physical, which hopefully doesn't happen, but I think Trez is ready for whatever might pop off during the regular season. They talked about kind of the early... I guess, returns of being on the team now and how, like, the group chat was immediately started.
Yeah.
I feel like the camaraderie was, and, you know, going back to talking points, definitely a talking point that I feel like they were hammering home.
Yeah, and, I mean, we've talked about this, and it was somewhat predictable in that these are two low-maintenance all-stars that we knew could come into what was already a good locker room chemistry-wise. And so for me, it was just nice on media day that all those thoughts were pretty much confirmed.
Like, yeah, there was no curveballs of like, wait, you hate this about this player?
Yeah.
Like, that would have sucked.
As expected, both very chill guys, both seemed to pretty easily fit into the culture of the Clippers.
Yeah, I would say Kawhi was most animated when discussing the fishing trip.
Yeah.
That got a lot of questions thrown its way.
It did.
As a whole. But he seemed excited about the fishing trip. There does seem to be this air of, I don't want to say calm, because Kawhi is always a pretty calm dude, given his, you know, everything. But it seems to be like a happier calm. He seems more like within his own skin, I feel like, in these media presences.
Yeah, I would say he didn't seem psyched to be there yesterday.
I don't think he's ever going to be psyched to be at a media day. He did look at his fingers a couple of times, like the classic, like, you're bored, so you, like, pick your
fingernails. I got some like, kind of pics of him where he's, like, holding the mic down. And it's, it's like a kid when you go to Sears and you got to get the family portrait taken.
For sure.
And the kid is like, come on, guys.
I mean, we saw him at the Nickelodeon Awards. I think his dream event is just him at the event.
Wait, so what's the event?
Like, though? Kawhi's going to a concert. He only wants it to be the band and him.
Gotcha.
No, nothing else.
Gotcha.
He wants the bare minimum fanfare and everything. He did look bored a couple times, but I don't know. He had to be there the whole day.
How do you think the practice went afterwards?
Yeah, there was... I bet they just did like a light shoot-around workout thing.
Nope.
You think full-on?
I think Boylan did a guest spot. They ran wind sprints until everyone threw up.
Doc's good buddy, Boylan.
Oh, yeah. Until everybody threw up, and then played a little bit of 5-on-5.
It was kind of a hullabaloo. They were still taking portraits and stuff, like, as the media day started.
Yeah.
They had a lot. I mean, the training facility is really big. They had a lot of stuff going on at once in there.
I mean, how else would you do it, though?
No, I don't know. It just seems daunting. Like, they had, like, portraits. And then the funniest part of every media day is they have to record the, like, all right, now yell, because this is going to be on the Jumbotron. So
yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, there's already been, sorry for not having names in front of me, but there's already been some great stuff that people have released on Twitter of, like, the behind the scenes where it's like, okay, now dribble the basketball the other way.
1, 2, 3. Oh, good. I think it was Rondo. There's a really funny montage of Rondo. Like, every year he's been with Garnett, his media day questions would just get interrupted from Garnett shrieking and yelling during promo stuff from like four rooms down.
Pat Bev was...
he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great.
He looked really like... All his answers were great. He gave kind of... standard answers, but they didn't seem canned.
This would, I guess, you know, I said that at the top we weren't really that surprised by anything in media day. The thing, though, that I guess I would be the most surprised by was Pat Bev has taken a different approach to the media, it seems, this year.
Bro, he seems like...
he's ready to embrace the larger spotlight. And not in a way where he's, like, hamming it up or anything, but he's much less curt.
Yeah, the vibe is much more open, which we will say it was his first, you know, this was day one, so we got a couple more days to go.
Yeah,
he seemed more open. He mentioned he's going to try and not be second in technical fouls this year, which I thought was great. I think he kind of touched on, like, how he was perceived.
Yeah.
Which he was like, you know, a lot of you guys think that I'm this, like, you know, he didn't say this, but, like, crazy person kind of yelling in the corner. He's like, I'm not like that. Like, I try and play within myself. I just get really intense, like... I'm excited to see. He looked, I don't want to say zenned out because it's Patrick Beverley, but for Patrick Beverley, he seemed pretty zenned out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Jovan Buha body shamed Ivica Zubac, which was good.
I don't think that's true.
No, it wasn't true. His first question was, so you've noticeably you've lost a lot of weight or something like that. It was phrased in a great way. Zoo does look cut, though.
Yeah.
He looks more cut than last year.
I'll give you that.
Which was a nice plus, I think, for a lot of us. He mentioned he cut out sweets, which is good. We got a bunch of stuff from the new guys. We're going to be picking that up in the freshies just after this. Want to give a shout out to Manscaped, the number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com.
Welcome to the freshies. It's fresh.
And we got a lot of good stuff. Every new guy... killed it at media day yesterday.
Yeah, they did a good job.
It was fantastic.
The rookies maybe talked a little too long. I think their fault.
No, I think they were like, hey, if you guys could run some time, that'd be great. They were like, they got the extended light on that one.
Yeah. Hit it with a little water, stretch it like a vocal cord, you know?
Exactly. Mo Harkless and Patrick Patterson came out together.
This was a fun pairing.
Dude, this is, they seem like, so, I was not familiar with them really as dudes.
Yeah, for sure. Like even Mo Harkless, who I would say I've been a fan of his game for a while on Portland. I'd never really watched any interviews with him or anything, but he was smooth, man.
They both seem like such great locker room guys for this team.
Yeah. Patrick Patterson, you know, this has been the iffiest signing I've been on pretty much.
Yeah, most people don't like it, which is, let him play.
Converted.
I'm converted, too. He sold me like a politician. I was like, you're really good at talking, and I like what you say, so I think you're going to be fine.
Agreed.
But he seems like he's going to – and he knows – these are two guys who know their role. I think Mo understands he might get a little more playing time than Patterson, and Patterson kind of said all the right things you want a vet to say, which is like, you know, I'm here to do what's asked of me. I'm here to know my role and just help out when I can.
He also looks like he's in much better shape than last year.
Dude, he looks huge.
Yeah.
Kawhi looked giant. Like, Kawhi, like, it's absurd how big he is. I've never seen him up close like that. That is a giant person. Patterson, though, dude, he looked built.
Yeah.
Like, he was a lot bigger than I thought he was going to be. I'm excited for him to kind of be with the young guys. I feel like he's going to be a great bet to have in that situation.
Absolutely.
Mo might wear a do-rag.
Yeah, might wear a Scully, might wear a do-rag.
It's going to be good all the way around.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, no one loses in this situation. The rookies came out last. They talked together for 20 minutes.
It seemed like it, yeah. It was a solid chunk of time.
It was cool because they're... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to.
It felt like they were a little more... I don't want to say open, but maybe a little more candid with how things were actually going just because they were so young and like are new to the process of media day.
Yes.
Which was kind of cool. It felt like their answers were, not that the other guys weren't genuine, but you can only hear, you know, we're putting our best foot forward, doing the best we can. As much, you know, after a while it gets a little boring. It was nice to hear Terrence Mann talk about, you know, he played point in high school, then freshman year at FSU he played the four, then he played point a little bit as a senior at FSU.
Yeah.
And then said that he kind of had to, like, learn a new position for summer league when he was playing point.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. For someone who was learning a new position, he looked great.
He looked really, really good. This came as a surprise just because, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but I guess I've always, I only think of him as a guard.
Like, yeah, after watching summer league, it was like he looks naturally inclined at this position.
And just, I mean, he does have a larger frame, but I still just don't see him really being able to solidly crack the rotation anywhere other than the guard spot.
Yeah, definitely not at the four. If a lot of people say that he's a four and a five, I mean that. Yeah, I don't see him cracking the fours.
Who's he gonna three?
Yeah, I mean, like three. Like,
yeah,
it's like Kawhi. So like he's got, you know, kind of Kawhi and Paul George in the way.
No, they don't count. He's not getting starting minutes.
Well, yeah. So then after that, you got JaMychal.
Yeah, Mo. Pat.
Yeah, he's not taking
it. Pat.
Oh, Swaggy Pee-Pee. yeah, he'll probably be at the point. Shamet had an interesting talk about, or quote about how we might see a point guard by committee.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of excited about.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think point guard by committee, I do think it'll beg the question as to, like, what really is a point guard versus... just point forward versus, yeah, like what does that even entail anymore?
Yeah, like so you're saying not even necessarily between like Shamet, Lou, Bev. It could include also like Paul George one day. It's like,
think
hey.
Not one day. I mean, I think like they'll run a lot of plays with them as a primary ball handler.
Yeah. It's going to be cool to see the assist distribution this year.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we're going to see a bunch of guys kind of hovering around like that six range and whatnot, just because it seems like we're gonna have to. If things are going well, everyone who's kind of like the distributor should be around five assists every game.
What if we go opposite? No passing, only ISO.
Only ISO, dude. It almost worked for the Rockets. Like we're gonna,
but it's each guy. It doesn't all have to boil down to one guy. Each guy just takes turns playing ISO ball.
That might not be bad. Zoo talked a bunch about working on his three-point shot. He got a bunch of questions about that.
No thanks.
Not something we're that psyched on.
No.
It's not... He's got other things he needs to work on. No disrespect, but three-point just isn't the... Shouldn't be his, like, thing we're really that worried about.
Yeah, I got to ask him about passing. Because Doc has been very high for a while now, for basically since the trade on Zoo's possibility as a passing big man. And he said that it's one of those things, it can be a little bit hard to work on when you're not with your actual teammates, you mm-hmm. know, just because everybody's different. He talked about just learning like angles and places where guys like the ball, where they're the most comfortable, like finishing or scoring. So I thought that was really neat. I thought that was really interesting. I think that to me is like a skill that I would like to see him have. I do not need Zoo to have a 3-point shot. I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess it's a cool novelty when big men can knock down a three on two attempts a game. You know?
That's the thing is that it would be such
a
novelty.
Like, it's not like he's turning into Brooke Lopez.
For sure.
Like, why
push the narrative?
Why?
I mean, I'm on board. The passing thing was so interesting. It makes it so much more crucial for him to have been a part of those kind of like all the runs we've seen these guys on. I know it's good that he likes to go home and stuff like that, which is nice. And it's like clutch that the Clippers could send staff to go play with him.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was wild. I didn't know that was how it worked. I mean, it makes sense.
Not for every team, because like, I mean, I don't think the Lakers sent anyone back when he went home. You know what I mean? Like, teams can just not send
Are you
people.
Psyched if you're that trainer, or are you bummed?
I think it all depends on the location. I think, oh, wow, we just got this this great kid from Sao Paulo, but he goes home every season. I'd be like, great, I'll go. But yeah, I mean, he's going to, it might be fine. It's probably pretty.
I bet it's fun.
I mean, what if Zoo's just like classic, like log cabin in the snow style training?
I was imagining like kind of a lake cottage, but I'm imagining he has a large family, and not necessarily in the number of family members. They're just all large.
Oh, that checks out. I'd like to see, you know how there's that picture of like Jokic's dad? I feel like the picture of Zoo's dad is probably pretty terrifying as well.
Do you think Zoo has ever wrestled a bear or has ever thought about it?
Yes. I mean, who here hasn't thought about it, for being honest? No, but I wonder... Yeah, I hope, like, the practice today, Zoo was running with the ones, obviously. So that is kind of a hard thing to work on, though. Like, just passing, especially with new teammates.
I know. Well, it's, like, one of those things that I'm always curious to hear the answer, because what I'm really trying to ask when I'm asking that question is, like, you know, how are you trying to see the game differently?
Yeah,
you
know? For sure.
But you're trying to phrase it in a way where it's not, like... Hey, you weren't very good at this last year.
Hey, man.
How could you get better?
We got a list of the things we wanted you to work on. Did any of the stuff that the rookie said have you particularly any more psyched than you were before they took the stage, maybe?
No, not really. For me, the rookies, like, they kind of had them reiterating some of the same information. Like, they kept being like, what was the best advice that you got? Blah, 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 blah. I did think that it was cool that they asked, Terrence Mann actually spoke. He said that Jerome gave him some really good advice, which was just essentially just taking it day by day.
Like, routine was a large theme they had.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool too, like how early, like you know, they've gotten nutrition. They have like full time nutritionists, and they're like taking that really, really seriously. Which, you know, it was pretty hard post college. I think sometimes.
Well, yeah, because I read a thing about all the, you know, the draft guys, you have to go meet all these people and do kind of all these meet and greets during the draft process. So your diet is, you know, a lot of it's dictated by those meet and greets. So you're at places with Kraft and terrible food for you, and you're just sitting there eating all day.
Crab legs.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I was psyched. It was cool to hear him talk about how, like, Kawhi and Paul George had given him some pointers and stuff just when they'd see him doing runs. Like,
yeah.
The embracing of the rookies, I mean, there's really no soft spot in this locker room in terms of like character.
Yeah.
So it's nice that everything's just functioning at such a high level in terms of acceptance and guidance.
It was cool. It definitely was cool to see that they fit the identity and mold of this team. I guess the thing that I didn't like, although it makes sense that we didn't get an answer, is like, what we were going to see from these guys, like positional, even positionally.
Yeah, that wasn't really brought up, which I think everyone just kind of assumes like, they're not going to get any time. You know, I feel like
which is fair. You know, like that's a pretty fair assessment. Somebody at one point did ask, which I thought was kind of interesting, what their mentality was going into the season, just knowing that with rest and stuff and injuries that their number could get called. So they both kind of talked about like, just the mental preparedness that you have to go through to be able to come off the bench and like make an immediate impact, which I'm sure I think Fee is going to have an easier time with. He spent his college as a sixth man.
For sure.
But I do think that Terrence Mann will be able to, you know, cope with that, learn that.
And they have a nice guy they can learn it from in Landry Shamet, who did it last year.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, he started.
Well, yeah, but initially he had to come off the bench in that Boston game, I think.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we all know how that turned out. Coming up after this, we're talking Jamichael and the Zach Lowe article, as well as the Clippers promotional schedule. So Zach Lowe has a list of 6 most intriguing players.
Named Jamichael Green the most intriguing.
I don't think it was ranked.
It was number 1, most intriguing.
Some great quotes in here. Some stuff that I actually didn't really know, which was interesting.
Some stuff that we hadn't heard for certain, but I thought like some of the stuff about him waiting for a contract and feeling a little bit dejected post the Memphis trade made sense.
Yeah, Lowe said Green was dejected when the Clippers acquired him from Memphis last season. He thought LA was tanking after dealing Tobias Harris and he would not get much playing time, he says. He sulked. Whew. Also said that Doc Rivers and Sam had to give him pep talks. That would be a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
You just think, like, this, and this goes back to when Doc had to sit guys down and tell them, like, we're still going to be competitive.
Yeah.
Like, I know we just did this. We're still in this thing.
It's just such a big move that it's really hard. I mean, you know, I think you and I were both in the same thing that we were like,
hell is going to happen?
We're going to bottom out a little bit, get a good draft pick, maybe let some of these picks play.
But. We all know what happened. He also mentioned that Kawhi texted Green after joining the Clippers and urged him to re-sign, promising this sacrifice will pay off, Green says. That's a hard thing to say no to.
Absolutely.
Kawhi just signs with your team, and you're like, hey, man, come through.
Okay, so I like that Kawhi knew enough about the team to know how essential that Jamichael Green was. Because going into this offseason, before we had Kawhi or Paul George, I said the most essential guy that we had to re-sign was probably Jamichael Green.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that we could afford to let him walk.
There's no way we could have.
There's just no way that we could have. He just impacted winning in his short time here so much that I just couldn't see him going to another team. I think it would have been a loss.
It would have been a huge loss. And obviously, Kawhi was like, we don't know what happened in the meeting. But based on this news from this text, was probably like, hey, one of those guys that I really need you to bring back is Jamichael Green.
Yeah, and I think that's cool that, like, even as an outsider, you know, he was pretty busy last season, Kawhi. So for him to, notice essential pieces for the Clippers, I think it's really intriguing.
Yeah. Lowe ended his piece with, if Green hits, if he can spread the floor for Harrell and Ivica Zubac, defend multiple positions, and hold his own on the glass in small ball lineups, the Clippers will become a different team. Deeper, more versatile. If he sputters, they will search out help. I don't think we'll search out help. That seems kind of like a weird, ominous trade thing. I think we kind of stick with Jamichael even if he has a rough patch. You know, we know what he can do.
Depends on how rough the patch, to be honest with you.
We did see him we were kind of spoiled by his consistency last year because he was one of those few dudes who, no matter what, it was kind of like, you're going to get 7.5 out of 10 kind of no matter what.
Yeah.
Which isn't the sexiest thing, you know, at the time, but across the board, it's like, oh, okay, 6, 8, and 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
We really needed that. Shout out to Michael Green.
Yeah.
God, I hope he plays the 5 more. The most important news of the day came out. The Clippers promotional schedule was released.
All right. You got to break it down for us.
I'm jacked up.
What are the highlights?
We'll have a 6-hour podcast breaking this all down later tonight, but for now, we'll do the quick one. Opening night, LA Our Way shirt. Seems pretty cool.
Similar to the playoffs one last year?
Similar to the playoffs one. Magnet schedule, October 28th.
That's what you're waiting
for. No people are hyped for that one. Buffalo Braves socks, November 7th.
These look really good.
Those look phenomenal. Native American Cultural Hat Night, November 16th. Here for it.
I think, don't you have to purchase a special ticket package, though? I don't know that that's a general release.
I'm not sure. I hope it's a GR. It should be. Lou Will Underground Goat Bobblehead Night, November 20th. Easily the highlight of
incredible.
So it's got his 3 6 Man of the Year awards in the background. He's wearing, it's got his Lou Williams like reverse 23 hat on a shelf behind him as well. One of the more accessorized bobbleheads I think I've ever seen.
Like
in terms of like stuff.
I mean, he's the goat, dude.
He is the goat. 50th anniversary sling backpack, November 24th.
Ooh!
I'm not mad at it. It has the map of LA like that's on the Kawhi and Paul George mural. Seems pretty cool.
Love.
Also, not just a kid's backpack. Take that, kids. I need a backpack too.
They heard your gripe.
Hell yeah, they did. 50th anniversary San Diego Clippers hat, December 3rd.
Looks good too.
Also,
it looks good. I like that it doesn't say San Diego anywhere.
Ooh,
it.
Good call. Ugly sweater fleece blanket, December 19th. This was the only one I was kind of like, eh, could have just been an ugly sweater, I feel like.
Yeah. Or a t-shirt with a sweater on it.
Yeah. For everyone who's way too hot in early January, Clippers cooling towel, January 5th, for those hot January nights.
You love this bit.
I love it. It's insane. Why aren't we giving this away, like, during the summer?
Because it...
Or not summer, you know what I'm saying? Like, when the season starts or later in the season when it's not January.
Because, I mean, I think that you can need it for the rain.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? You're right. All that rain we get. And then a Paul George bobblehead on February 5th. Which will be sweet.
No Kawhi bobblehead?
Nothing that I've seen online yet.
That surprises me.
Very surprising.
Do you think it'll be a secret drop?
That would be sick. Like a random giveaway day?
Yeah.
Ooh. That would be cool.
Unannounced giveaway would be very
cool. Unannounced giveaway would be crazy.
But like they don't even give it to you at the door. You have to know to ask.
Yeah, it's a password.
Yeah.
Also, there's a smattering of free LED wristbands. Got to plug. We just have to plug the downtown LAC nights.
Yeah, they're so much fun.
They're so awesome. If you're trying to pick, if you can only go to like one game or something this year, try and get out to a Friday night game.
Go to the cheapest Friday night game you can go to.
Yes, absolutely. They're so fun. The lighting effect. I feel like the word immersive gets tossed around a lot. It's legit a kind of a cool immersive experience.
Yeah.
The dunks are great. Everything's awesome. Anything else in that shavings drawer?
Nah, man.
We're packed today.
We were packed.
Tomorrow we're going to be doing a live stream for you guys, Twitter Tuesdays.
As always, yeah, send us your questions.
At Locked On Clips, at Charles Walker, at Will Updike. We're going to be reporting on whatever you guys want to know about, as well as whatever's going to happen 24 hours from probably this exact moment. I've been positive Chuck Mockler.
That was ominous.
Well, we do it at 1:30.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.